Debates about housing in New Zealand often end up coming back to one central question: are we building enough homes? A new report from the think tank the New Zealand Initiative argues that might not be the right approach. Its report is called Beyond Targets, and it suggests housing targets and long-term forecasts can actually make planning less flexible and less responsive to real demand. Dr. Benno Blaschke is a senior fellow at the New Zealand Initiative and author of the new report. He joins me now. Hello there.
Good afternoon, Jesse.
Nice to talk to you. Can you make this argument for us, please?
Well, basically, projections, we have been doing this kind of what we call predict and provide kind of approach in planning for a long, long time now. And that basically means that you calculate or you assume, you make an assumption of how much the population will be growing. You then translate into that into a theoretic type of capacity, and then you distribute that across space, and then you lock that down into regulation, and then basically to a point of it being unmovable. And that approach has to date not worked. We have even met those targets, and prices, house prices, have still risen. One of the reasons is that one of the approaches that councils have taken is that they have inputted a price, basically a price of a home, and then said at that price we can maintain that kind of price, usually an unaffordable price, and then if we supply at this amount, then we can supply to that price. So this approach of projecting forward a certain amount of demand has to date not worked, and what we are proposing is what you actually need to look at is not housing targets. What you need to look at is how the structure of the market is really working.
Thank you. And just because the targets aren't currently delivering what we want them to doesn't necessarily mean that targets are a bad thing, right? Intuitively, for people listening, the idea that you predict that we'll have this many people and so we plan to build this many houses, that seems very straightforward. Can you explain to us why that kind of falls apart under closer scrutiny?
Well, planning can still do that. Like, planning might want to project forward how much they expect the city to grow and then start thinking about how much to provide, and that also helps them model the infrastructure that they might need. That's all fine. The problem is not that they make assumptions and that they make plans according, but the problem is that they lock it into regulation and they fix it, and then it becomes unmoving, and then we have 10 years of periods until it's revised again. So the issue here is that too little is provided, it's persistently underestimated, and it's no longer flexible. And there's a different way of going about it. They might model how much they need to provide, but then the next step is to actually see what is actually happening in the market. Are we actually providing enough? And then adjusting accordingly. So there's an accountability spine that's needed in the planning system to which planners are responsive. Currently, planners simply do not look at prices. They look at quantities provided, and they're not self-correcting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So is it fair to say that your problem is not with targets, it's with inflexible targets and the system that doesn't update the targets as new information comes to hand, plus this other factor you're talking about, which currently is under-considered, which is how much the houses are going for?
Yes, and there's also other factors. There's quite a bit, like how much land are you providing? Like, are you actually providing zoning where there's high demand, or are you pushing it away? Like, are you actually providing zoning in areas where people actually don't want to live? Are you actually providing enough zoning in areas where infrastructure can actually provide for more, rather than actually underzoning those areas and then pushing it elsewhere? All these types of practices are resulting in the market not being able to move and not being able to provide where people actually want to live. And then what happens is that the market stops pricing houses as such, but what we're pricing is permission, and that permission is scarce. And then people start bidding up the price because they have to pay more and more to get what's scarce.
Yes, you're getting to a level of economics which I think some people, possibly myself included, will struggle to keep up with. But we get the basic principle. And something else here I think might be a problem, which comes up quite often on the show actually, is that we don't seem to talk openly about how many people will be in our cities in the future. We don't seem to have any debates around what the right number is and what a realistic number it is, because we seem to continue to underestimate the growth of our population.
Yes, I personally think that it's not the best approach to think about what is the appropriate number. If you decide that you're only willing to provide so much public services, then you would have to think about numbers. But if you have a system that is actually responsive to demand, so that people arrive, they then pay for their house, and they also pay for the infrastructure that's provided to get that land onto the market for that house. And in that case, that's no longer needed because the system is actually responding to the demand that's growing.
One thing that will work against your requests that people be more flexible is the fact that housing takes so long to build, right? It's not like a lot of people show up so we produce a few extra loaves of bread. I mean, this is years and years before you even get to the planning. Is it possible to be flexible with a product that is so long-term?
Well, the product is long-term because, by and large, the time it takes to get permission takes so long.
Yeah, and you've got to build things as well. You can't do that in a couple of weeks. That's at least a year, right?
Yep, but a year is not 3 or 5.
Yeah. How difficult would it be to make the changes that you're suggesting? Where would they be made and what would it look like?
Well, it wouldn't be that difficult given that the changes that are already being made, basically, right? So the new planning bill will be including specific objectives to basically get the economics right. What we are saying is that what you need to do is you need to get a sober driver in place. So ministers aren't sober drivers. It's similar to with the Reserve Bank. We do not give the Minister of Finance the job to set interest rates or the official cash rate. They are pressed to basically cut it at pre-elections, right? So what we need is what I would call an institution that's time consistent. You bind yourself to the mast, you're capable of holding your course. So this kind of function needs to be delegated down, independent from a minister, and that then helps basically shield the minister away from the politics, but it also protects the community from politicizing targets and getting a central government involved, where basically Wellington determines the future fate of Auckland.
Yeah, interesting. I did an interview a couple of weeks ago with who was a philosopher, actually, and he thinks that too much of modern life is determined by metrics. And the problem is that you become obsessed with the metric rather than whether you're actually achieving what you've set out to achieve. Is this an example of that, that if we focus on a target, and if in particular a government or a political organisation focuses on a target, they will sometimes do that at the expense of other things that might be more useful for people looking for a home, an affordable home?
Yes, well, I think that Bishop Wayne Brown, a few people that have been weighing in are correct to say that housing targets are misleading. I mean, it's basically a proxy for supply, but looking at simply the housing target and this kind of projection and locking it in is actually not the way to go. And then debating over that target is misguided and is also distracting. What is much more important is what is happening underneath. Are you providing enough options so that people can move? Are you providing the mobility in the city? Is floor space, or let's say housing in this case, affordable enough that people have the labour mobility, that they can move to the job where they can be more productive? Can firms locate all these types of factors? You know, can they locate where land is valued because there's a lot of activity, so that increases economic activity, that increases the productivity? All these questions are much more fundamental to, have you built 2 million or 1.6 million houses?
Nice to talk to you. Well done on the report, and thanks for spending some time chatting to us about it today.
You're welcome.
Dr. Ben Oblaska, Senior Fellow at the New Zealand Initiative think tank. Its report's called Beyond Targets.